Setting up shop.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Setting Up Shop, the podcast where myself, Dan, a wood turner from the UK, my friends Erasmus, a blacksmith from Norway.
Hello.
And Heidi, a potter from America.
Hey there.
This is the podcast where we all talk about our journey towards going from a small-time crafter, hobbyist, right the way through to potentially full-time selling of all of our wares and all that kind of good stuff, and the things that happen along the way, stuff that maybe you can learn from, maybe you won't, but you'll have fun listening to us talk about it all the same. How is everybody today?
Doing good.
Doing good. Well.
Excellent. Hopefully also the listeners have responded to me as well, and I shall pick up their answers through some strange extrasensory perception thing. Given it's still a full moon outside, I probably will pick it up. Who knows?
The beaver moon.
Is that what it's called in your country?
It is.
Okay, I think it's called the Hunter Moon over here, okay. Which sounds slightly better, but okay. What
yeah, something about like the beavers start making their new dams or something at this time of year. And so people started calling it the Beaver Moon, and I was like, that was pretty dumb.
Yeah, but, not the best naming situation.
Hey, yeah, you know, we don't have those big like marketing agencies back in the day.
You can't say that. You guys have Halloween. You don't have a big marketing
we
agency.
Do.
You have Halloween. You have the company that rebranded Father Christmas to be red.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anyway.
Taking all the pagan holidays.
Absolutely. Market the hell out of all of it. So it's been a while since our last episode. We estimate it's, by the time you hear this, it's going to be a month or just over since you heard the last episode. And we didn't wrap the season up, and that wasn't intentional. Basically, I screwed things up by going to America, and we didn't find time beforehand to record an episode. So for this episode, we're actually going to switch things over a little bit, and I'm going to have the reins pried from my hands by Rasmus and Heidi, and they're actually going to ask me questions about what I got up to in the States, really, and make a camp and all of those kind of good stuff. So I'll pass over to you guys, and you can like do thumb wars between you for who's going to go first. So
let's talk about what Maker Camp is first. So it's a US-based camp that is put on in the Catskill Mountains of New York, which is upper part of the state, and it gets cold relatively quickly into the fall, and the area is very much just kind of like, I don't know, what would you describe, guys, like rural Americana?
Yeah,
definitely rural. Without wanting to offend anyone who might listen to this, the town that the camp is based in feels like it's literally a strip of road, and it's like row of houses and small businesses either side of it. There's probably some ancillary slightly further out, but it's what, maybe half a mile to a mile long.
Yeah,
that's
what we consider as a village.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, that's what we would we would say the same as well. Yeah,
yeah. So it's basically one of those big conglomerative, everyone in the maker community, big and small, ends up at this ragtag type campsite type events space, and basically shows off what they can do during the full weekend. There are tents that are set up with different people showcasing their skills and giving people opportunity to try things. There are speakers. There is a bar area where a lot of people enjoy in the evenings. There's food vendors, and there's a restaurant on site. Some people camp out. Dan, I think you did an Airbnb, correct?
Yeah, because I'm old. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's pretty big hootenanny up in New York that gets a lot of insider press. So a lot of people posting on Instagram, Facebook. There's a lot of YouTube videos of people traveling up there and just showcasing like a collage experience. So if you're ever interested in what that is about, it's basically family friendly. Come hither, all who want to try things or don't want to try things, just want to see people. But I think that pretty much describes it in a nutshell.
Yeah, it's a very relaxed atmosphere, and there are YouTubers on there who, if you want to use the term famous, are there, but there's no like queue here for autograph kind of feeling to it. Everyone's just wandering around like it's a campsite, and there's just, you know, you'll go up to places and like, do you want to have a go at this? Yes or no? Most of it is included in the price of the ticket. There's one or two activities where there was an extra charge, which wasn't a great deal. And the demonstrators and teachers who were there travel far and wide. There was one lady there who was demonstrating and teaching felt hat making, and she comes from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, cool.
To upstate New York. And from what I could tell, this was her second or third year there as well. So
is this the lady that Brett and got a hat from her?
Right.
Well, as in McAfee or?
Yeah, Brett McAfee.
I don't know. I don't know if he did or not. Yeah.
She's pretty incredible, incredibly talented. I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah, I mean, the lady, if it's the same lady, it wouldn't surprise me, because she's clearly exceptionally talented, very, very happy to share her knowledge, like super cool just to hang around. She brought her kids with her as well. I don't know if her partner was there. But yeah, she clearly like makes a good trip out of it, and it's just a lot of fun to sort of go and watch the process. Yeah.
Well, as historically, Rasmus and I have been there. Unfortunately, neither of us were able to make it there this year. So we're probably going to have some hot take questions for you, but also just general, like, hey, was this person there that we experienced when we were there and had this story to tell about? But I'm monopolizing the hosting seat. So Rasmus.
Just to chime back in, it's Grey Collective Hats, G-R-E-Y. On Instagram is the lady that I'm talking about. 7,100 followers, so reasonable following. But the stuff she makes is cool, and she does an awful lot of that. So something for the notes, Erasmus.
Sure, I'll try to remember all the things. I think maybe the best question to start out with was how much did this live? How much did MakerCamp live up to your expectation of like atmosphere and activities and all of that?
Okay, so. Activity-wise, it exceeded it.
Oh, good.
In the range of activities available. So it was a foregone conclusion that there would be something to do with wood and some form of blacksmithing there. That was like, you know, obviously going to happen. But there was quite a lot of other stuff that I'll go into a bit later. From the social side of it, I think my expectation kept changing, because obviously at one point, both you guys were going to be there. Some of our other friends were going to be there. That kept changing. So by the time I actually got there, I don't really know what I was expecting socially. And so Friday afternoon, we got to meet a few people like Dave Bauer, who I'd never met before, but I've occasionally spoken to via social media. So that was really nice. He was running a print tent there.
Yeah, salt of the earth guy.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then a couple of other stall holders just kind of interacting with a little bit. Patty Brooklyn, obviously catching up with her, or in my case, sort of meeting her properly for the first time. Friday afternoon, if any of you are considering going in the future, and particularly if you live in the States and think, oh, I'll just go Saturday, Sunday, it feels like a bit of insider information, but the feeling I got was the day to get there is the Friday.
Yes.
If you were there Friday afternoon, it's not as crowded, not that it was particularly crowded this year, but it's not as crowded. So the person I was with was able to go around and do 80% of all the things they wanted to do on the Friday afternoon, because there wasn't the queue, as it were. And again, none of this stuff had big queues or anything like that, but it was just, you could go from one thing to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, because people were, they were set up, but they were kind of still warming up to it. So, you know, it was a lot more relaxed on the Friday. Again, the whole weekend was relaxed, but Friday definitely seemed like the chill afternoon that some of the stall holders, they're set up, but they're not necessarily really doing the thing they're going to do. It's their day to go around and look at everything and catch up with people.
Mm-hmm.
So that certainly felt like a gentle break in. But then, yeah, it was super cool to meet a few people like Steph from Uncommon Outpost. I will happily, even if she ever listens to the episode, I'll happily go on record saying I was a little bit intimidated before I met her, because I didn't quite know how she would be. And as despite how outgoing I am, I was still approaching a random American surrounded by her bunch of friends to sort of say, hi, you don't know who we are, but kind of thing. And before we'd even got past saying but, she stood up and threw her arms open and was just like, oh, new friends, and gave us both a hug. So that was a really nice welcome from Steph into that kind of thing. And we had a couple of good conversations over the weekend and chatted a little bit afterwards and stuff. So it's definitely a welcoming vibe, but I would counter that with saying I am more of an extrovert than an introvert. So if you are closer to the introvert end of the scale, go with people you know, or make sure there are people you know who are definitely going, so that you can meet up and you can have that enjoyable experience together as a group, or at least, you know, sort of that confidence that there's that person that you can anchor to throughout the weekend. Not because it's a horrible event or anything like that, but there's, you know, it's a big enough field that you could potentially go, hang on a minute, I'm on my own here. And I'm, you know, if you're not comfortable in that sort of environment, then make sure there is someone there that you can stick with.
And if you are a bit introvert and still want to actually meet a lot of new people, like having a designated extrovert with you could be really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, even if it means you start speaking to some people beforehand and saying, look, you know, can we Zoom chat before we go or something, like, or, you know, whatever, just have a bit of interaction before you go. So you have that level of confidence. But yeah, so yes, overall, it did exceed my expectations, and I would go back again.
Wonderful.
That's great. There were lots of activities, and you had like a little bit of a taste on Friday night of like what was there. Mm-hmm. Did you sit down and like make a plan of attack when you went back to your Airbnb to decide like, okay, this is what I'm going to focus on trying to do. Like, these are the points that I want to make sure I hit today so I don't miss it. Or were there like certain people that you were like planning to see that you wanted to make sure that you didn't, you know, miss out on? What was your energy like when you went back after Friday night?
So after Friday night, I woke up Saturday morning with a stinking cold.
But
I was like determined to not miss the event. So I actually went in with no plan whatsoever. It was just, okay, let's just see how we feel, not wanting to pass it on to anyone or anything else. But I only did like half a day on the Saturday morning, went back to the Airbnb, slept for the afternoon and that kind of stuff. And then was gutted when the person who I was there with sort of messaged and said, oh, they've got like a Cigar Box Blues guy playing this evening. And I was like, that is right up my street and I'm not there. So I was a little bit gutted about that. But by Sunday, I was kind of well enough in myself that I could go and have a proper experience of it. So I don't know. I had it was a bit of a weird thing because like, well, I'll list all of the activities first, okay? So I'll go through mentally in my head where we were in the field. So there was leatherworking with Weaver Leathercraft, and there were two different hands-on activities you could do there. One was leather tattooing, and one was actually making like a small bag or something.
Wait. Leather tattooing, like with an actual tattoo gun?
No, it was like a weird Dremel tool type thing. Oh. They call it leather tattooing. You'll have to look at Weaver Leathercraft and find out what they say.
Okay.
So it's like probably debossing or embossing.
Okay.
Dr. Multi can tell you which one.
So not applying ink, just
so not applying ink. It was creating a picture and a shape on there that could be, you could then potentially ink afterwards because it's leather.
Leather so carving. Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Probably. Mm-hmm. But they called it tattooing. So.
Yeah.
And then there was a lady called Seal Leathercraft, SWEL, and she was doing a set kind of come and make a, I'm not sure whether it was like a handbag or a clutch purse or a bag of some description on there. Okay. So that was quite cool. And then next to that tent was, there were three different activities in the tent next door. So there was a lady doing cut glass, and you could go in and cut pieces to match a template. And then there would be a finished piece at the end that she was going to lead fuse together for the Maker Camp. So it was like 2025 logo of Maker Camp. There was a guy doing glass blowing, so you could have a go at actually, you know, blowing out a form. And there was a couple there doing raku-fired pottery. So they had pre-made some vessels, which you could then, they would heat them up, and then you're going to throw like horsehair and feathers and whatever else on it to get the design. That was one of the activities that was an extra cost. And then in the tent next to them were the send cut send guys, so that you could have a go at powder coating in there. And I didn't really go in that tent very much, so I'm not entirely sure what was in there other than powder coating. And I think there was like a welding competition and something or other else. At some point, people were making bikes in there as well. So I'm not quite, there was quite a lot going on in that tent, but I didn't really fully understand what was happening. That's my fault for not going in there properly. The next to that was a silver jewelry and jewelry making tent. And that was also where they were doing cold form copper forging. Hammering out, you could make leaves and twists and things. And then there was a bunch of guys doing green oak timber framing. So they were making a full-on frame of that there. And I was a little bit unsure as to whether or not this was a participation thing or not. And it wasn't clear until Friday afternoon that it was, that you could go up and say, hey, can I help? Or can I have a go or whatever? Because they were using like the massive skill saw, circular saw and things like this. And it was like, I'm assuming, because the guys clearly knew each other And this was clearly something they'd done before. So it was a bit like, is this a demonstration or is this have a go? I wasn't quite sure. So that was going on. And then next to that was Dave Bauer with his printing tent. So you could carve out of silicone a little like stamp to make a print, which you got to keep. Or there was someone just demonstrating an old print press that Jimmy DiResta had donated, and you could keep posters from that. Then there was another guy there who was inking up sections of timber, so like the end grain of a slice of timber, and then you could make your own print out of those. So I had to go at that as well. That was quite good fun. And the next tent round was a bunch of guys doing carving an axe handle using spoke shaves. And then there was a guy in the corner teaching or giving wood turning, have a go at wood turning, but it was pen turning, so I wasn't interested. and then next to that was Chop with Chris, who was demonstrating a treadle lathe, so using foot power to power a lathe. And then in the afternoons, when it was clear that, you know, people had lost interest in coming over to watch that, he actually had an attachment on his lathe where he would put what used to be an old router table, and then underneath it was a mechanical butter churn gearing system that linked to the lathe. And then on the top, he could put a mixer top, and he was making margaritas and daiquiris by treadle power from a treadle lathe, which got a lot more people interested. And Anne of All Trades, I think, did a post about it, or at least something on her Instagram, because she had a go at that. And then also in that tent was Lucky Nail Blacksmith, who was actually demonstrating and showing how to make little hand brooms out of grass. It was him. Cool. And I got to sit there and have a go at that, which was one of the few things I did actually trial over the weekend. And I was super pleased that I got to have a go at that, even though it never appealed to me before. But I saw it and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's something different. So that was good fun. And then Sabretooth, the brand Sabretooth, were there, and you could have a go at carving out a spoon with their rotary burr tools. And the next tent round from that was another woodworking-based tent. So there were a couple of demonstrators. One was Pat Lapp demonstrating wood turning. And then there was an area where there was a tool restoration place. So you could pick a tool from a rack of like hand planes and stuff that were all rusty and beat up. And then they would literally show you start to finish how to restore it back to a functioning tool, sharpened blade, completely cleaned or whatever. And then you've got to keep it.
Wow.
Oh, that's so nice.
It was a whole thing. And that was like, there's potential for you spending two or three or more hours there. Like really, you know, all the whole process. And then also in that tent, there were a couple of people selling stuff there, like a timber supplier and a couple who were selling beeswax-based finishes. I actually really loved their branding, and I wish I'd taken more pictures, because they were making things like tongue oil, but they were calling it stung oil because everything was beeswax and bee-based. So they're like everything was kind of linked back to that, which I, you know, little bit of pun, not particularly changing what the product is, but it was quite cute and kind of linked everything together. You could also have a go at making chopsticks in that tent, and also turkey calls, which I've decided are possibly the most annoying noise in the world. and there are a couple of other things in that tent. A guy doing rattan furniture weaving, like the woven seats. And I've forgotten his name, but a guy who makes exceptionally nice woodworking benches had one of his benches in there, and then people would go there for talks. Next one round was Lincoln Electric. You got to have a go at welding. So I got to have my second ever go at welding there. So that was quite cool. Next then was a blacksmithing tent where they were book in advance only, and that was forging roses.
Oh.
And that was the most booked out class out of the entirety of the thing. And what made me laugh, right, Raz, is that was the roses, but also on the stand they had how to do lilies and another flower, and I can't remember what it was. And I thought, oh, I wonder where these patterns have possibly come from or not come from. This would be interesting to find out. But I didn't ask the question.
I'm pretty sure, certain I know the guy who supplied the pattern. Yeah. And they look similar to mine, but they are also slightly different.
I'm sure they are.
You can only make roses so many different ways.
Exactly. Immediately outside their tent was a guy who was occasionally doing some smelting demonstrations, but I missed those the entire weekend, so I'm not quite sure how often that was happening.
Yeah, like three times while we were there.
And then next along from that was the massive blacksmithing tent, which was like, so the blacksmithing had open forge till midnight on Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, that's
they stopped early this year.
Yeah, yeah. And well, that was officially on the program. And then that's also where like Jeff Fader and the Modern Forge guys, Cliff Dufton and all of that kind of lot were in there. So that was really nice to be able to go in and have a chat to some of them. They were very lovely. None of them tried to get me drunk because they didn't realize I was Rasmus's friend.
Might have saved your liver.
Yeah, probably. And then what was really cool was if you then walked out of that tent, they were right next door to a brand new like toilet block, which didn't seem to be a problem at all. So that was great. But the other side of that block was this tiny area. And I kind of thought, what's over there? And you go over there and there's a guy there with like a mini digger JCB. And you can go on and like pick up logs and move them from one side to the other and like play around with digging holes and stuff. And just like no apparent reason, just we all want to have a go on a mini digger. And I didn't do it. And I kind of wish I had.
Bummer. But
that's fine. And then next to them was a lady doing stone carving, which was really cool. And she would do like a full like 2 or 3 hour, this is how we do this kind of thing. Then next to her was a guy who was doing dry stone walling and was quite often incorporating some of the carvings into the wall. So that was quite fun. And then in the middle of all of this, you had Total Boat Epoxy, had a whole tent doing a load of stuff. There was a tent where you could try flint napping. So bashing rocks together to make like blades and arrows and stuff. Patty Brooklyn, as I said earlier, was there. She had her tent where you could have a go at various sewing things. Keith Decent would go in there and do demonstrations on rug tufting with his rug tufting guns. The lady with the felt hats was in there doing that. And then also next to her was another lady who was doing silk screen printing that you could have a go at as well. So that's quite a lot of things. And there was also, and I shouldn't forget them, but outside of that whole area, because they're quite noisy, even more than the blacksmiths, there was a separate little space where you could go around to where there were a bunch of guys operating CNC and laser machinery. So there was a lot of stuff going on. That was most of the things you could try out. And then there's also, as always, Mark Adams taking his free black and white portrait photos, which are absolutely amazing. Gosh.
He just makes the whole thing come together, right?
Like,
that memory and that like badge that you get because you were there. Like everybody knows when you show up with that black and white Mark Adams photo where you were.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of a summary of everything that I observed that was available. There were possibly a few other little pop-up things that happened that I didn't notice, but it's quite a wide variety of activities that you can dip in and out of having a go at.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a good time.
I think previous years, like there was some competitions going, sort of vaguely due to famous people doing like a boat or building a boat or something and having a race. There's a lot of various different things going on all the time and different parts of the whole property. And it's pretty big. So if you only sort of wear around the tents, you might actually missed out on 2 buildings or something with stuff in it.
Entirely possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing that did happen this year that I have to give a shout out to, because it might make Steph from Uncommon Outpost listen to our podcast, is that she's good friends with Jenny from J. Bauer Engraving, who if you people listening to us don't follow her, definitely follow her. She does some really, really fantastic stuff on, she'll engrave hand planes and all kinds of things. Well, Jenny likes to dress well. And Soph decided this year that this must be like East Durham Fashion Week. And so they've done a whole series on their social media where Jenny's there pretending to interview other people as to what they're wearing for East Durham Fashion Week. And she's like, you know, holding a hairbrush as a microphone kind of thing. And it's great because this happened to coincide with where a load of the influencers had just had their fresh delivery of Carhartt clothing. So she kind of, but then also on the Saturday afternoon, 3 guys turned up who were all, for whatever reason, dressed up as The Rock from the infamous photo where he's got the black turtleneck with the gold chain and he's leaning on the side and he's wearing the... Yeah, so 3 people were dressed as that. So they had some really good fun social media around that kind of thing. And there will be people watching that who didn't even realize Make a Camp was a thing. They were just going, what's East Durham Fashion Week? it's a good, wholesome kind of just craziness. And then there was karaoke one evening that I'm glad I wasn't there for.
Yeah, that gets intense.
The Sunday evening that I was there for, there were a bunch of guys in the tent area near where the bar is. They were listening to one kind of music and doing some various different kinds of more technical dancing that Rasmus would have approved of. Ooh. And then Total Boat had like a 90s rave going on. So there were a load of people crammed into the Total Boat tent listening to like 90s dance classics and stuff, and like properly getting hot and sweaty and like dancing up and down with all the drinks and stuff.
maybe high on epoxy fumes.
Oh well, yeah, possibly that as well. But then they would occasionally stagger out to the bar, and then they'd be like, it's really cold out here. So yeah, because we're not surrounded by 40 people jumping up and down.
So,
it was good fun, and it was fun to see like open fires made out of old JCB buckets and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah. Well, they do have camping on site, so if you do want to partake in the party that happens in the evenings, and you don't want to have to drive to an Airbnb, they do have like tent camping, but they also rent out some of their cabins. Yeah. Not luxury resort cabins. We're talking like, not, you know, kind of gritty.
You would not be surprised if you find your cabin with a hole in a wall or something.
Yeah. I mean, some of the people I spoke to have been there a few years. One of them have said that they come prepped to repair something every year that they've been in their cabin. So
I
kind of wonder whether
bodies. It's like an actual bathroom setup. There's like a building separate for bathrooms.
I will absolutely say that as someone who doesn't like roughing it at all, I was pleasantly surprised that certainly, I don't know whether it was just because I went to the new toilet block or what, I didn't know it was new, but toilets were absolutely fine. They were kept clean. They were kept emptied of trash and all that kind of stuff. And they weren't like a temporary toilet. They were proper functioning ones. That was all absolutely fine. The only thing I would say about the entire weekend that we weren't aware of before is that it is a cash only site.
It's America.
That doesn't matter. Everywhere else we went to in America the following week was not cash only, are a cash only site, and there are ATMs on there, which if you are a resident of the States, you might have the right bank card, which means that it doesn't charge you. But if you are a visitor from outside, it will charge you a percentage when you withdraw money. So if you are a visitor wanting to go to it and you're not expecting it, be prepared to take some cash with you, and you know, enjoy the weekend, basically. Particularly make sure you get a ticket that includes a plate at the barbecue on the Saturday.
Oh, yes. The barbecue is amazing. Yeah.
The barbecue is absolutely fantastic. That is the best barbecue I've ever had. I have eaten barbecue from the States before, but that genuinely was the best barbecue I had. Not least because when you walk along, it's not like strictly rationed. So in the UK, it would be like, no, everyone gets one of these and one of these and one of these, and that is how many you get. Whereas I walked up and you just smile nicely at the lady handing out the half chicken and wait, and you get a second one on the plate, and then you move along.
Yeah.
You know,
that's how I do it.
Very generous. It was great. It was a really good experience.
And William Shear and is it Chris of Green Money Fab? That's two of the main guys behind this now. Yeah. I mean, Will at least is like a proper chef. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's been doing this kind of thing for years.
Yeah.
And oh my God. Yeah, that's one thing I'm really sorry about missing out on. It's like that barbecue.
My only appearance in all of the multitude of official Maker Camp videos was of me queuing up to get the food. Like literally the food's being put on my plate as the camera walks past. And that's the only time I appear in any of the official Blackthorn Resort Maker Camp videos. And I was like, yeah, that's fair. That's fine.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Was there anything in that area, like not just Maker Camp, but in that New York area that you were surprised by, like the ruralness of anything? Or did it remind you of home more than maybe some of the other places you've been in the United States?
Definitely didn't remind me of home. So the one thing that struck me about that area, it struck me about the area, but also frustrated me a little bit, and that is a personal perspective, but each house on the plot of land that it was on, regardless of where the house was on the plot of land, they all had a good amount of space around them. Mm-hmm. Now in the UK we would have made sure there was like a boundary fence or wall or whatever to say, no, this is definitely our section. Yeah, absolutely fine. You know, every man's home is his castle. You can't defend a castle without a moat, a drawbridge, etc.
Stay out of my yard.
Yeah. And, you know, that's not there, which is absolutely fine. But I think the frustration from a maker perspective was what felt like the large amounts of wasted space. So like there'd be a house, and then maybe way across the other side of the yard, there might be a building that may or may not be a place to store a vehicle or just stuff to maintain the grass. But then that was it. There was just like, there was just nothing for a lot of them. Some of them, you know, they grew plants or whatever, but an awful lot of them, it was just like, well, this is mine, but it's just grass. And you're looking at it and you're going like, you have more space on one side there than, because we're such a compact and overflown country. And so it's frustrating to me to sort of drive past all these plots and go like, so you clearly have more than enough room that you could have like three workshops if you wanted to, or you have this, you're like, and don't get me wrong, I'm well aware that there's things like budget and zoning laws and all of that kind of stuff. But it just felt like I'm looking at it through a very specific lens and just getting frustrated at my lack of space in my country when you guys have got that there.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there was nothing about that area that particularly reminded me of the UK or anything like that. That was just kind of looked similar to most of other parts of America I've driven around. This is, so for most people who don't know, this is my third time going to the States. I've been to New Orleans, Memphis, Nashville, and then we've been out to Vegas and
California. Joshua Tree.
Joshua Tree, thank you. Mm. So we've been to sort of spotty different parts of the States, but it was when we went on to Boston and Rhode Island. Rhode Island, you know, it's New England. There's a reason why it's called New England. It does look like England. So that was definitely more of a, oh, okay.
That was the first part of the country that was settled.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, and we ended up in New York for a good few days afterwards as well. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It sounds like such an awesome trip. And I'm at least feeling a little bit bummed that I didn't make it up this year.
Well, things happen. Things happen. I'm not going to be able to go next year, that's for sure. But maybe in a couple of years' time, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. So all around report is worth the travel and
worth the travel. Try and go with some people you know, not because you won't be able to speak to anyone, but it will just be more fun if you go with a bunch of people you already know or you can meet up with and try the things. Like have a go at stuff.
Yeah.
Don't be shy. It's a really, really good way to see whether or not you're actually going to enjoy something. So if I hadn't done it already, I would have had a go at leathercraft here. And in the past, I've always thought, oh, leathercraft could be like my secondary hobby. I could probably really get into that. I like the kind of
secondary hobby.
Yeah. I like the juxtaposition of leatherworking to like woodworking type idea. And I had a go at it and I very quickly realized I do not have the patience to work with leather.
Okay.
So, you know, why is this stretching? What are you doing? What's happening now? Why is this moving? Why is this not constant? Stop it. Which are all the sort of things the metal workers say about woodworking. So it's, it does follow down.
Why did this catch on fire?
Yeah. Exactly. it's friction. It's why you're able to have the opportunity to like have a go at these different things. And there is a possibility that I have actually unlocked a second hobby and I'm desperately fighting against it because I've still got woodworking commissions I need to finish before I start going down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I also really want to go back to make a camp, but it's just a slightly enough awkward time of the year that every once in a while it crashes with markets here in Norway. And it's like, I can't justify going on vacation and losing out on like the early Christmas season.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like it's the best time because the weather is like just nice enough that it's not sweltering up there to go, but it does get a little bit difficult because school has started. So anyone with kids, you have to pull your kid out of school, but because it's an educational trip, you can probably, work that with your administration at your school. But when I went up a couple of years ago, it's over a 10-hour drive for me from Pittsburgh. Yeah. And I ended up just deciding, okay, you know what? I'm going to leave on Wednesday. I'm going to, take my time driving up. I'm going to spend a night somewhere that I've never stayed before. So I stayed in Scranton, Pennsylvania, which is where the home of The Office, the US version of The Office was filmed or supposedly based. So I stayed there and then continued driving up through Thursday and arrived Thursday night. or maybe I left on Thursday and arrived Friday night. I think I arrived Friday night. So I did get to experience like that Friday night, like set up and see everybody and kind of like, you know, get settled in for who was going to be there. I would highly recommend it. I think Tanda rode a motorcycle that year all the way from Arizona up. Some people, there's like a whole caravan of people coming from Pittsburgh with VW buses, which is pretty rad. But yeah, there's like such a cacophony of groups of people. So if you have a group, I definitely recommend like grouping up with people and going. When I got there, I hung out with Laura Kampf and her brigade pretty much the whole time. And it was just, I don't know, really great, really fun.
I think the big thing was as well is that even if you go up with a group or you see people there with a group, don't be afraid to approach that group if you wanted to like either speak to one of them or say like, hey, you're doing this thing. I think it's really cool. Just wanted to let you know kind of idea, because there was no one at that camp who wasn't friendly when you approached them. I have two more shout outs I have to make. First of all, Vern Makes came and made himself
on Sunday.
Thank you very much, Vern. Apologies for not getting to spend more time to chat to you. And I'm going to have forgotten the other one. I got to meet Tony Rolu.
Yeah, of course.
Hillview Wood of Metal, which was lovely. And I have to apologize to him again that any time I got to see him, he was trying to eat. It's like just as he's putting pizza in his mouth, it's like, hi, Tony, while you can't speak to Matt back to me, I'm just going to fire all these things off to you.
Yeah.
So that was lovely. And he absolutely will be a future interviewee on this podcast as well. So that will be very nice. But yeah, it was cool just to meet a lot of people. And I'm pretty sure I was myself and the person I went with were the only English people there this year. So that was quite entertaining with a couple of people suddenly going, oh, where have you come from? I was like, and I just got to start getting to the point where I just say, guess.
Australia.
Some of them they kind of narrow it down to UK sometimes, but that was fine. And then be like, so have you traveled over here just for this? It was like, well, yeah. I wasn't like passing by just on a whim and went, oh, this looks cool. I happen to be driving through the Catskill Mountains.
End up in East Durham, New York.
I was going to West Point and got diverted. Because that was a weird thing, discovering that West Point Military Training Academy is like an hour away from East Durham, New York. So yeah, that was quite fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. Like it's very much a community-based thing. And people were happy to chat and happy for you to approach them and talk to them. And we ended up chatting to Anne of All Trades a couple of times and met her child, who was desperately trying to sleep every time anyone approached.
Of course.
And also Adam of No Trades, who was, being the long-suffering maker husband that he is. And it was nice to see everyone. That there was, unlike some other events, there was no kind of pedestal that people seemed to be on. Everyone respected each other and everyone was just like, hey, look, we're all at different paths of the same journey and whatever. And it would always be complimentary or wanting to speak to people. The only people I didn't get to speak to, actually, Heidi, were Priscilla and Luke. Every time I tried to find P.O. Smith at their tent, they were either like with someone or really intensely in the middle of doing something that they were like welding or forging or something.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to speak to those guys, but that's a reason for me to go back.
There you go. Always leave yourself a little bit of room to experience something more. That's great. Well, I think it was, well worth the journey with you to take a break from the podcast and let you get around and experience that stuff. I'm really proud of you for, coming to this country when maybe it's not so appealing to travel here, but hopefully you didn't experience anything awkward at the airports or anything.
I have to say, right, and I'm happy to go on record to say this, if I was unaware of anything from the media, of anything happening in your country whatsoever, I would not have noticed a difference from any of the other two times I've traveled to the States.
Good.
That's
good to hear.
Like, whether going through customs, whether just like, there was nothing at all. There was no atmosphere that was weird. There was nothing whatsoever. And that was whether I was in New York, whether I was in East Durham, whether in Rhode Island or wherever we were, whether we were with friends or on our own. Like, I was walking around New York on my own for like a day and a half. And it was all just, it was felt absolutely fine. I was quite comfortable the entire time. I never felt threatened. I never saw like excessive anything weird or off. I saw some exceptionally clean homeless people with suspiciously freshly made signs that were very well written. But, you know, that's no different from any major city in the UK. Yeah. So, you know, in most of Europe as well, probably. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, it was definitely good fun. A few visits checked off the list. I got to catch up with Maker Monster in Boston, which was great fun, getting to see Jake for a couple of hours and trying to gently and then forcibly nudge him back into the community and trying to generate something. But that's not where he is right now. That's not his place at the moment. So, but
we miss him.
Yeah, I did say that and did say he was missed and all the rest of it. And he is very much an insular person and whatever, but intensely creative and got all his stuff going on. So that was lovely to catch up with him.
Yeah,
you got to see John.
And we got to see John D. Harvey, JDH Metalcraft. That was amazing. He gave us a private tour of the Varnum House Museum, which is, you know, exceptionally good fun. And I have the utmost wood-turning pictures ever of a visit to a museum, which means I have no pictures of the museum. I have no pictures of anything other than close-ups of, like, 1700s bedstead legs. And like little pots in the corner and like features of how did they get this reading on this thing in the 1700s without a router? Like if these are all hand carved, these are really well done, you know, so that literally like there's no pictures of the rooms in the house. There's no like, what does the overall thing look like? It's all close ups of woodworking, wood turning.
I mean, that is the same when I travel, except metal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at that gate handle. Ugh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I always look at the bottom of plates.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Yeah.
That's a whole other thing, though, isn't it? Like history through the crafter's eye.
Mm.
Like you don't kind of take into account some of the outside stuff, but it was just quite fascinating.
That's great. Well, Rasmus, what did you do in recap of your month break from the podcast?
Well, I've had a little bit of fun. We had Oslo Maker Fair a couple of weeks back.
Okay.
And we managed somehow to convince people that putting up 6 blacksmiths and proper power tools outside the main library in downtown Oslo is a good idea.
Not just power tools, though, wasn't it? Power hammers?
No, sadly, we didn't. We didn't want to risk bringing a hammer down, but we had like a 25-ton press there.
Okay.
Yeah. And we took a tip out of Cliff Dafton's book on demonstrating. And using the massive press, we made candle holders in one heat by just having a punch knocking down into the center, knocking out the space to the candle holder or the tea candle. And then while it's still red hot, we take the tea candle and we drop it in there and it immediately catches fire and it's really spectacular and all of the kids love it.
Fantastic.
That's cool.
Yeah, because fire is always fun.
I mean, it's the best part of pretty much every maker show, maker events that exists, like hitting things.
I always enjoy
fire.
Burning my pieces. it's definitely the best part.
I think in total they talked about 18,000 visitors to the fair.
Wow.
Yeah, and we were basically located between the central station and the Opera House, which is one of the bigger tourist attractions. So like everybody coming and going in Oslo that wanted like do the scenic thing, they walk by. And of course there we were like drawing everybody in. And being 6 blacksmiths, we were forging with kids continuously all day, both Saturday and Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, I was asked to be on the Q&A thing up a monitor.
I saw the pictures. That looked cool.
Yeah. So there's been a lot going on. But I think like the biggest part of it was just being able to convince 5 of my friends to come to Oslo and just make noise and set things on fire for a weekend.
Oh,
I'm sure that didn't take
so
much
enriching.
Convincing.
Oh, no, not at all. No. It was really easy.
Just their arms. Their arms, for sure.
Yeah. We also actually had a social get-together in the Forge the day before, because there's a lot of other exhibitors coming, and friends of mine coming like from different corners of Norway to Oslo for this. So we were maybe 25 people in the Forge, and people were forging, and we were cooking pizza on the Forge, and we were kept going far too late and the neighbors complained a bit, but like we had fun and they also recognized, it looks like I had a hell of fun, but it was getting late. So yeah, but I mean, forged fire pizza, I think that might need to be a regular thing now.
Yeah, That sounds like fun. Cool.
How about you though, Heidi?
Well, you know, it's in the grind of the making season for me. Started in September and has been heavy since. I just finished up like the biggest order that I think I've ever received, which was close to 300 pieces at once.
Wow.
Those are all delivered and ready for what we have here. There's like a small business market that is in the heart of our city, and they put up these little wooden chalets that are, you know, super festive, and they have an ice rink and a big tree up, and it's really fun. But I make a lot to support one of the small businesses that rents out one of the chalets for the month. And so that was like where most of that order was going. So it feels good to have that behind me and focused on, you know, I know that I said I wasn't going to do many in-person events this year. I actually did quite a few more than I expected. But I have an event coming up at a new apartment complex. Like, check this out. Okay, it's a little bit weird. So they built this new apartment complex adjacent to a big shopping area in what used to be just rolling hills and farms. Like when I first moved down here, there was nothing over there except maybe the mall and a strip mall. Yeah. And now there's like, it's just a bustling area with shops, and there's a Costco, and there's the malls expanded and all this stuff. So they built this housing complex like splat right in the middle of all of it. And they randomly emailed me. I'm not sure how they, I mean, I'm sure they found me on Instagram or like through some other social medias, but they reached out and they were like, hey, we're doing this big Christmas event to showcase our new property that we're opening. And we're inviting for Small Business Saturday, all of the like local people that we really like their works for like home goods. So I got invited to do that. And so I'm making a bunch of like Christmassy seasonal kind of wares right now, like luminaries and like Christmas mugs and Christmas platters, like cheese platters and those kind of things. So that's what I'm getting into now, which is kind of exciting because it's not stuff that like I make all year round. It's stuff that, you know, gets to tickle my brain a little bit with the creative part. And I'm feeling like really energized, which typically in November, in an average year, I'm usually adjacent to burnout. But this year, I think because I did some heavy planning and letting people know like, hey, I'm not going to be taking orders after October 1st. So like if somebody comes to me with a small order and I feel like doing it, I say yes. But if I don't feel like doing it, I'm like, you're SOL until January. Sorry. So I feel really good this year. I feel like really energized. I've got a lot of great ideas pumping through my brain for next year's products. And, you know, I feel like I'm in a much better space than I historically have been at this time of year.
You definitely seem like it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm not like slumping over. What do you want me to talk about?
That sounds like fun. I mean, it seems a bit of a weird way to advertise an apartment complex, but it could work, I guess.
Yeah, it's like a campus, I guess. They have like a gym area. They have like a grove area. They have like a communal living space, and then the apartments. And I don't know. Well, I'll let you know what it looks like. I was just assuming it was just like a high rise of apartments.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it's got a bit more to it. Because I asked, I was like, are we gonna have to be outside because it's cold and I don't want to do that.
Getting old, man.
I'm getting old, but these bones just can't handle it. You know what I'm saying? Can't handle it.
Yeah.
But Ben built me those new storage shelves, which turned out really cool. And they're in this room right now. And it's so much easier for me to like, if somebody's looking for something specific, like my one friend was like, I need a fish mug and I need a dog mug and I need, you know, whatever. Historically, I'd have to like go out into the cold garage, dig through, you know, whatever crates I had, like take everything out just to find like one or two pieces. Yeah. Now it's in here and it's one layer of mugs. Ooh. So I can just like move the crate to get to the next one. So I might pick you guys' brains about how I might organize that a little bit better, even more so. But it's really nice. And I'm excited to use those for that apartment complex event because the one thing that was, I loved the shelves that Ben made me before. They're like Japanese style like visually Japanese style shelves with these tusks, and you have to like, you know, put them into the little holes, and there's a lot of hammering, but it's like an hour of work just to get the shelves set up without even having product in them. So it's nice to have just like a lot easier solution. So it takes me, you know, what would take me an hour to set up takes me 20 minutes. So
So it's display shelving that you're wanting to chat to us about. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a shame, because I instantly had an idea for your storage shelving that I thought would be really
cool. it folds over and turns into storage. Okay. So it's like you can pick it up and take it, and then you can put it on its side, and it has these shelves that you slide in to these little, I don't know, frames.
Yeah.
So then it becomes a shelf. It's really cool. And then it's genius.
Yeah.
And that's all. See, I'm back to myself and it feels great.
Yeah. Yes.
It's good. It's good.
It's good.
And then the chaos continues.
Yes.
In the after show. It continues in the after show. So if you would like to hear more about our random adventures around the world, then please feel free to join us in the after show. Unfortunately, it isn't free to join us in the after show. You will have to subscribe to our Patreon. However, it's $3 a month. So it's not a huge amount. We will frequently admit that the after show is only available, obviously, when we've recorded an episode and there's an after show available. We are now entered or already into silly season for Christmas. Many of you listening to this may actually be listening in the new year because you're too busy working to be able to listen to us now. Or it might be that this is the one thing keeping you sane whilst you're working. If that's the case, we're really sorry. So either way, we really appreciate those who already subscribe. We gained another subscriber the other day. We're still not in double figures yet, so this is a big deal for us. And if you want to listen to the more, the ramblings and the sharings of things, that's what where you can get them, the after show at patreon.com, and search for Setting Up Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. If you want to see more of what we each do individually, you can find me on social media at tarrants.co.uk, T-A-R-R-A-N-T-S. And that's on social media and also on my website. Rasmus, you can find at Lowen Smed. And
Rasmus Lowen.
Rasmus Lowen. Why have I gone back to Lowen Smed? Sorry. Rasmus Lowen. Yeah.
You've been away.
Everyone should understand that. You know, I'm not even going to bother spelling his surname now because it's so blindingly obvious to everyone who speaks English how a Norwegian name would be spelled.
Obviously.
I'm not even going to mention the third one that's on the screen in front of me that's next to his name.
That's a tongue twister just to annoy people.
What, Steensgaard?
Yeah.
Okay. And then Heidi Jacobs, who obviously can be found at Whitehall_Pottery.
Most generic name ever.
It's been great to catch up with you guys. And thank you, everyone, for listening once more. There will be more episodes. There will be a new season once we get back to recording again, and we will let you know. If you feel like it's been too long, send us a message via our social media, either our individual ones or the group one. info@settingupshop is the email address. Many ways to get hold of us. Never say we didn't give you choices. Until then, bye.
Bye-bye.